But the fellow that got the cows, he beat me down there when they was, I led the horses down, and he come with the truck and going to get his cattle. We had to push one or two of them young ones into the barn. You know, I done pretty good at that. I sold the saddle horse, that five-year-old, I got $50 for it. And I sold that to a guy that didn't have a goddamn thing to live on. I guess he had about $5, but I didn't tell him that. That's all he paid down on the horse. But I knew he was good, but he was working on that job, and that was going to put him off. And they come to me so excited, "He bought a horse from you." "Yes, he did." "How much did you pay for it?" I said, "He didn't pay a goddamn cent." So I guess he got back on the job.
Did you get to work on that government work?
No.
You didn't?
No. But I had plenty of stuff to eat, and I had hay and stuff for the horses and cows, always, and chickens, always, except I had kept plenty of grain. No, and then I took and put the harness on the 3-year-old, drove him down a time or two in the field with an old horse I had. Guy come up and asked $85 for him. He took out the money and paid me. And then at a 2-year-old, I kept that till spring, and I had so I could shift an old horse off, and I thought I'd work her a little. Well, then my brother-in-law, he come up, "You take my horses, and then you got 3 years. Can run 3 foot burners, and you put in my crop." He had about 25 acres to put in on the 40. Well, I got them horses, and then that young one had to go right in with the rest of my work, and you know, them was the best little animal I ever drove. And I rented a lot of ground there too, you know, at that horse place. And two other
Harsh's place?
Yeah. He had a farm next to me on the north. He overtook for debts, I guess. My brother, I was cutting peas, 110 acres peas, and I went up at 4 o'clock in the morning and started cutting, and I had a kid bringing my breakfast and another team at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I ate my breakfast, and he unhooked the horses and put the others on while I was eating, and I went till noon. Why, he come out the horses for I had in the morning, and I ate my dinner, and he come back out with the other team at 4 o'clock, or a little before, and then I worked till 7, or I quit. But I cut 20 acres with the five and a half foot mower every darn day.
Well, that sounds like a lot.
With horses it is. And that's a job to hold them on that carrier and bunch them when you're going. And then after that, while he was cutting grain, I had to go and shark back so he could get through places. I slept a couple of hours, but 120 acres when I cut 28, wouldn't take so long. And he was meowing about them horses, that was no good. I admit I had the best horses. But I says, "I got to have him at least 2 days more." "Well, that's too long." I says, take the 2-year-old and put it on the grain, and put the other one of mine on the tongue, on the binder, and put the colt next to the grain." "Oh," he says, "you'll help me hook her up." I says, "Hook her up, heck." I says, "Not." But I says, "You start up and the binder makes a noise, so I see get a little nervous, so I stop." She knew there was something wrong behind. She laid her feet down like that, going to make that lunge. And I says, Betty, what's the matter with you? And I patted her in the head and went around. He crawled up and got the lines, and he drove up 100 feet and stopped. And she looked around, and you know, she had them reels coming back of her. But it didn't worry her after that. She'd come to a corner where them two would take that truck so goddamn short that she just barely missed the reels. And instead of, when they give it to pull, that platform just flew right back. After he had him the day of, I says, do you want the other horses pretty soon now? No, heck, he said, I'm going to keep her on there.
What made her such a good horse? I wonder why she was so good a horse.
Well, I don't know. She didn't. I put her with as a saddle horse. I told her it's just a two-year-old, and I come and tree in August, I believe, and I said to my brother's wife, we were working together, and I says, I couldn't leave that colt going there, and I'd left him with her at work. And he'd go home and feed my chickens and this and that around there at noon. I says, bring the harness over. Her harness, I had a harness fixed up for her. And, oh, he says, that's what I'm going to do with her. I said, I'm going to hook her on the plow. On the foot burners, because in West Stumpy Ground we plowed. Well, she come out and looked at it, and I said, you better give me a whip. And I laughed, I knew I wasn't going to have to whip her. And he says, I'll start off the head to you, and then I put her on the inside on the furrow, and when I turned on the corners, well, you know, they're coming right against. I thought probably she wouldn't get out away from the tug, so heck, she... I plowed a half a day with her and put her in, and then next day I come out, well, you know, she got sore in her mouth. I stood and I looked at her, and I left the halter on, and I snapped the reins to lines to the halter. No, it's an animal. I broke lots of horses, but nothing like her. But I worked with that same horse. He was a good horse. It broke all kinds of colts with him. And she worked beside of it, and I got home to plow some of all of my. I was plowing that alone. I had more horses than I know what to do with, so I turned her in the pasture. But when I come going home at noon, why, where that horse was, there where she was, he went on that side of him, and she walked up with me, took him to some water. She walked up to the barn. I laid the bars down, turned them in, and she walked into her stall. But she had to be with that horse that she'd work with.
Huh.
She wanted to stay beside the horse that she'd work with when I took her home. So she I all had done that, you know, when she was working. She was worked beside the horse, and I led him home. She got in there beside the horse, and I didn't even lead her, but she followed just like I was leading her.
So did you always try to work them two together?
I worked her beside of the horse all spring work. But after that, I shifted her back and forth anywhere. It didn't make any difference. He decided, and I put her with. It always looked like that should have been the mother to it that I bought. They had her jiggered. I worked her, and when I went to get all little wood with her, why, all they done, they run her back and forth just on a trot. But after I got to working her, she turned out she was awful fast walker. And so was this young one. She'd just fall right up. Only thing, she wouldn't hang on the bit any. They looked alike, and I don't know, I had it for years there. Finally, she went and cut her whole front foot off. I'd shoot her.
How did she do that?
Well, she cut her foot off and fought with other horses, went up, braced up, and got the dang thing and sawed it back and forth and pulled the wire fence with her. cut it off. And then I had daughter and I guess I sold her to the Fox Farm or something. And after that, I never had no luck with horses. Of course, we had the tractor after that in Whittam, but I bought a big mare for $10. That weighed 1,500 pounds. And I traded horses back and forth. I messed. So I didn't have more, and got down to where I didn't have more than two of them, and one of them got sick, walked around. And then after that, why, she lay down in the barn, and when she go and get up, why, she couldn't. She couldn't take her front feet to head. She kept them and tried to get up and throw the strap on them and give them a jerk ahead, why, she'd fly up like a bullet. Finally got rid of her too, but when I had one of my brother had a horse, a young horse, and when we got him, but we had him for many years. He didn't want him over there, so I had him to cultivate with and this and that. And he got the honor when I was going to have his milk house home in the evening while he drove him to the farthest end of the farm. So I got rid of them, that and two of them. I never had no horses after that. Huh. Oh, I traded horses and bought horses and sold horses. My dad left. He left two horses that belonged to him when I rented the place. And he says, yeah, I want $75 a piece for them. No, I says, I ain't going to give you $75 for them old horses. He looked at me and he, well, he says, I give them to you on one agreement. When you're done with them, take them out and shoot them and put them out of misery. Don't let anybody else get them. I did. Well, I broke them when I was a kid. I broke them and I had them for years and years. My oldest brother, he comes and got damn mad. At first he didn't say nothing until I come home with him. I went in the barn, harnessed him up, and I took him to the house and showed him to mother what he looked like. And I went and hooked him up in the harness and I went under the horses and took him out and hooked the lines on him. And I went down to, drove him in the lines down to the mailbox. And that's half a mile over to get the mail, and got the mail and drove him back. Thought I'd get him used to the bit. And he come. He says, do you know, he says, that colt would run away with you anytime he wants to. He says, why don't you tie him down to the other horse? Got a good ball of mouth from him for doing that. I didn't have no trouble with her. I never had a bad colt, breaking a bad colt. They don't try to run away unless it's some goof of some kind. Huh. I say, they don't run away the first time you hook them up. They pay attention to the horse that you're working with. You know, I had that old brown horse that he finally got old and he got wobbly, couldn't hardly get up and fat and nice, but his legs seemed to die out on him when he lay down too long. I finally got rid of him, took him out and shot him and buried him. Otherwise I sold a lot of horses and traded, but I done a good deal on the cows. That way I got a little money, but then I had two left. And I went down to my sister, and she was married and lived a ways off, and I asked her, do you want to have a beef? Oh, she says, I could use it. I says, Joy, I'll give you half a beef if you can half of it. Boiled it in 4 hours and sealed it and put it in fruit jars. Yeah, she said, I'd do that. And I think I cut meat there for 3-4 days. And she canned that and a lot of her own. Made hamburgers and meatballs and put them in fruit jars. So I had plenty to eat anyway.
When you were working at that colt that you got in trade for
your own place, my brother Gus, but my other two brothers, the one that I bought in with, I paid him so much a year till I paid for the place. He rented it, and first I gave him a... he was supposed to have a third, you know, but when I rented it, why, I'd got, or a half, I should say, on his share. On half of the crop, that's what he got. I paid him off, and then the rest I paid cash when I finished him out, so I had it on my own. I, of course, he stayed with us till he died. He had about 6 operations. And then he broke his hip the last time. And they put in a socket in there, but you know, they took out pieces of guts that long and a piece of that long as the colon, and sewed a spatation between here, and then they sewed and cut him open and cut, sewed him up because he got a hernia in that cut. And then they put that leg where they cut that, just like mine, and put in a steel joint in there. But that was broken off on his leg, his flock like that, till they done that. Then his guts, and then you got that there shaking. He was that way too, you know. I think I stayed there for 19 years with me for sure.
Could he walk around? Okay.
Oh yeah, he walked around with the cane, all right. But you know, there was everything else the matter with him.
I wonder what made his health go bad.
Well, I don't know. It's nothing go through him, see, when he got that way. He had to douche it out with water and race cane and fool around with him. Up and around. Oh, as he lived, I took him down to the home there. I just went left taking care of him because he'd sleep in the daytime, and at night he'd holler and rave about this and that. And I never even went to sleep. So you know how that worked.
Which brother was this?
That's the oldest brother. And then the next brother there, he had a beer parlor up here, one arm and the other. My brother Gus, he was killed in a logging accident. His wife lives out on the farm yet, at times, but she's working at Pullman.
What happened to Gus in that, how did he?
A log load slipped over, and when there was loading, split out and fell on him. And he worked in the woods practically, well, we all did, all but Oscar didn't, after he got sick, why he didn't work. He had Social Security, and you know, that was an awful lot, $57 a month. And after he got it figured out how much he got left, It cost him $25 a month for just medicine. Well, you know, there wasn't much left.
How much land were you farming then when you were using horses? How much?
Oh, heck, we had, me and him together, we had a place at home there that's 160, but 130 acres of field on it. And then we farmed another place, the Lester Nelson has got. We farmed that, but we had an old Fortune tractor at that time too. And we farmed his place, that is 80 acres. Oh, you turn off a lot of work with horses if you've got enough of them.
How many did you usually have then?
Horses?
Yeah, how many were you
well,
using for work?
Well, I'll tell you, that's all according to how much I could trade. One year when I had that colt, well, I sold and traded, and when I come to spring work, I only had my home place, 130 acres, so I had two colts. I bought, went up and bought a saddle mare up there from Bogle, that butcher up there, and a 3-year-old colt. That's all I had to, and two older horses. I put in the whole works, but of course I had hay too, and I raced out of that probably 30 acres of hay and 20 acres of summer fallow. I didn't have no trouble putting it in.
What else? You had 30 acres of hay and 20 acres of summer fallow, and what else did you raise there?
Wheat and oats and barley was the main crop. Oh, I went heavy on fall wheat, but I got that god dang government stuff fooled with it, and I had that other place, you know. I had 55 acres of wheat on my own place every year, and you know, when I long before I quit, they kept a cutting it level down to 18 acres.
You mean that's all you could plant?
That's all I could plant, and then I had to lay so much ground idle off for that. Overproduction. I was hoping then that they never got a damn thing. They'd never be that again, you know it.
Well, that's crazy. 55 acres of wheat can't be overproduction.
Well, you know, I had another place just the same as mine, you know. I'd shift on mine and a day off back and forth. And then I raised peas. And all that went into wheat in the fall. And I had 120 acres. Well, you know, that's a lot of peas. That I didn't have so much on my own place that year anyway, only 20 acres.
Were you rotating peas and wheat?
Yeah. I'd take a crop of peas and then disc up the ground and plant it into wheat. Of course, I always had some summer fallow. Did you raise good wheat? Put fertilizer on every year like they do now, and that them years they didn't put any fertilizer on. That come on later.
Did you raise a pretty good wheat crop anyway?
Well, I raised about 35, 40 bushels to the acre, and that's good wheat. Lots of them don't raise any more now with fertilizer on. Oh, well, a little, I'll admit that. Straight summer fallow for fertilizer on. The year that everything went out all over. My wheat went out on, I had 20, I was allowed 22 acres then. I got 65 bushel on 11 acres. And the other field that I had went 43. And my neighbor, he had a renter on there, and he seeded it late. And you seen a spear standing on never 2 feet. Just winter killed. Well, one neighbor there on the west of me, he had, I don't know what the heck, he come up a lone spear so far apart, and then you could find a little bunch here and there. They had to disc everything out and put it into spring wheat. Well, nowadays, you know, they're getting, well, if it, 3,000 acres or more. The fellow that I sold my place to, his dad and the boys, them was that 3,000-4,000 acres. And then that McKenzie, he's got no less. But right around home there, the place on the north, that's farmed by this big farmer. And then he goes back over and he's got 200 acres that he, another fellow used to live on farm, he's got that. And now then right on the west 40 of me, there's another farmer, the same farmer, he's got that farm, 120 acres. But then he jumped over one place. This fellow that was renting from me, he was renting that's one of the big farmer's boys. He sold that place, so he didn't get that, but then he jumped around on the east side of me. He got a farm there, 160 acres, and well on the south, that's Ingle, you know, he's a big farmer on Barrett. He owned that place. So he didn't get that. And you know, after a little while, it gets it going like that. They can do as they please. If they wheat prices ain't what they want, they'll just say, we'll cut it out. We'll cut it. What is the government going to do? They can't come and say, you put that in or we'll shoot you. They're farming it, the way they want to. And they'll have to say the control over the whole darn works if they keep it going.
Well, when you were a kid and growing up there, was it all small little farms?
Huh?
When you were growing up, was it all small farms there?
It's a farm of 160 acres and less, of people living. All on them farms that raised a big family. On the south, there's a family of, south of my place, a family of 5, 6 kids, and cornered into it, there was a family of 5, and one that comes right down beside of mine, there was a family of, on that 60 that goes out, about 9, 10 kids. No, they was family on every 160 acres and less. And now where's that? You go down on that thing, they call Texas Ridge, and look and see how many that's farming there. There's less than 10, 12 farmers on the whole dang ridge. And there was probably 30, 40 of them. Now things have changed.
Were many of them people when you were a kid? Now, what year were you born in again?
Well, I'm 78 years old.
96.
Well, then, when you were a kid growing up, was it mostly homesteaders that were still there?
Yeah, that's homesteaders. The place that Dad got was on, that's a homestead. He come from Sweden, but he went to Minneapolis thought he'd stay down there and took out his citizen's papers and come back up here and got arrested and filed on that place and stayed here. He didn't have nothing down there, but he took out his citizen's papers.
So he homesteaded here?
Yeah, he homesteaded. And so did all the rest down.
Do you know why he came to Idaho? How he ever came here instead of someplace else?
That I don't know exactly how that come.
I wonder if he might have known somebody that was here or something.
Oh. Yeah, my uncle, he come from Sweden too. And mother, he was married to mother's sister. But then the whole darn country along Bear Creek, there was nothing but Swedes. Every darn one, and they settled up along that creek there so they could have plenty of water. And then this thing they called Pine Creek, that was never dry them days. It was water, all the timber standing, solid timber. There were millions of feet knocked down on homes there, on the home place, ring the trees, and went around hacked them with knives till they got dry, and took them, put a fire to them, and burnt them down and burnt them up. That don't sound right, does it?
Sounds like a big waste.
Well, what the heck they're gonna live for? I hauled wood after I was 15 years old, and hauled wood up here to Derry, and up along the track there by the warehouse, that wood pile after wood pile. They got $7 a cord, $6-$7 a cord, a whole big price. Well, look at what wood is now. You can buy a lousy cord of wood for about $40, I guess.
Well, did you clear any of that land, or did your father clear it all?
Well, my father had the most of that cleared. We cleared some patches here and there. He took the best parts where the best ground was, and then he probably left the draw with junk, and we took all that out after we boys started farming.
I heard that land on Bear Ridge, well, that's better land than land on Bear Creek. But the Bear Ridge land was settled later, huh?
Well, this is... They come in, I guess the Bear Ridge down below was pretty near homesteaded at the same time. That's figured pretty good ground. Well, you know where the division or the divide, Little Bear, or Lower and Upper Bear Ridge. When you go out of town there where that goes the other way, that's Lower Bear Ridge and this is Upper Bear Ridge. No, it's better stop to think, you know, it's, well, if them farmers, when they started there, or homesteaders, they went out and worked outside where they could get work, and if they made $100, you know, they'd live on that a year. Where $100 goes now. My uncle, he took a contract cleaning out that cut there by Moscow. He had a farm down there at that time already. And he went bankrupt. Well, my dad worked on the road going from Moscow to Kendrick. He worked on that road. He didn't tell me, he told me he worked there, but that druggist man, not the druggist that's in Troy, no, he's one before by the name of Johnson too. He says, your daddy stayed with my folks and boarded here when he was working on the railroad. And that's before I was born, I guess, no.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. There was only three kids born, and Freda and Oscar and Robert, three kids that come from Sweden, and I guess about 4 or 5 years old, the oldest one, five probably. And the rest of the kids was all born out here.
Your uncle, when he went bankrupt, was that on the railroad?
Was that he took the contract to put that up for so much money to clean that cut out, and he went behind, so he didn't have enough money to pay the workers or not. He had to file bankruptcy.
I think that happened to a lot of folks.
That took everything away that he had, but he was one of them guys that said, "Oh, if I," he says, "only one thing to do," he says, "put on new bristles and start in again." And he'd buy anything that he could, if he could buy it on time, he'd buy it. He had debts till he was so old that he quit farming, and then he had a couple of thousand left to pay on the last place. He bought a place, two, three places, but after he got so far, he sold them, and then he bought another one. So he wasn't any farther ahead, but this place he had no last time, I can't figure out where it. I was there when I was a kid and stayed with Auntie too and Uncle. But it had two big silos on it and a big barn. But he lived in town at the time and went out to the farm and farmed. You know, he was a town man. He came home every night and dressed up and went downtown.
This buying on time,
he done pretty well. He sold the place, I guess, for at that time for $17,000 or $18,000. Well, probably 19, because I think he had $17,000 left after he paid the debt. Well, you know, that was big money at that time.
Sure was.
That place out there where you come over to divide, and it goes lengthways on the side hill and goes right down to the old road. There I farmed that. And the fellow that bought that from the fellow that owned it before him, why, he all thought he got a big price. He sold that for $6,000. Oh, I bought this place to the home place once before the First World War. I had saved up a little money and done the truth about it. And Dad, we got ready to move to town, but he stayed out there anyway. What the heck? Wheat went up, when Dad had the last crop, wheat went up to $2.50 a bushel after that First World War. And Dad was one of them fellas that was always lucky anyway. He says, "I was hauling in the grain in the fall," he says, whenever you get in there, it's a $2.50, tell them it's sold. And then it took a slump right down like that. Wheat went down to 65 cents a bushel, and oats, I don't know, less than a cent a bushel, I guess. But God dang it, you ain't got what the heck are you going to pay with? There was a fella down there, I could call his name too.
Well, don't bother his name.
He had lots of big crop. He hauled in his crop, hauled it in. It went down to 65 cents. He left it lay there for 4 or 5 years. I guess the storage ate it up. What did he get? He still took 65 cents, you know, so much a ton a month for storage. And you take for 3 or 4 years or Well, I didn't have the crop that had to go.
Well, what happened to you when you got the place and the bottom fell out of the market?
Well, I tried to pay and I told my dad, I bought it from my dad. So I went to him and I told him, you bought a place. No, he said, I didn't. Yes, you did. I gave him a quick claim deed back on the place. He stood and looked at me a while. He said, well, he says, for the money you paid in, I'll give you a break. He says, you take the crop. So I didn't exactly go broke exactly on it. I got that crop, and then he had it, and we farmed it for him a couple of years. Me and my brother Chris. Then they moved into town, and I was renting it then, of course, and when he moved in. Made pretty good at that, you know, some years. I raised peace there. Peace on the whole darn thing one time for about $4,000 besides the other crop. That's good money at that time. So I shouldn't holler too much.
Well, when that happened there after World War One, I think it just caught all. It caught so many people. A lot of people, from what I've heard, had gone, got bigger and bought more land, and they just went flat broke.
Well, it wasn't only me that went broke. A fellow down in Barrage, he went up and bought that place on Texas Ridge there, a darn nice place. And sold his place there and paid down so much on it, and be danged if bigger money, of course, on the last one. He lost everything he couldn't pay it, turned it off. And he wasn't down there, and quite a few others the same way. One fellow he brought. He had a place next to me there. He horse did, he overtook that. And this other fellow owed him, he had a mortgage on all his cattle, his horses and everything. And he got mad and he took and moved him down to his place and says, there you are, do with him what you want to. For the money he had borrowed on the bank. Well, the bank went broke, you know, here too. I didn't lose such a heck of a lot on it. I think I had $1,500-$1,600 in here, I guess, at the time.
Did you lose that?
Yeah, well, I didn't. I got a little payment. But I had money on the Troy Bank. They went in and got the money. Them big money men went in there, and the bank was well hooked up, but they had to have so much cash. Well, they just went in and put it in the bank. And so the bank never went broke in Troy. Didn't have any trouble with that part.
Was the Deary Bank a very good bank?
Well, it got in bad because he had loaned off money to these ranchers and stuff. They couldn't pay. He got a farm and this and that. Cattle. And he didn't have enough backings for it. And put in a fella, what you call him, to collect the stuff. And he collected there for his wages and this and that. Till the people that had money there went in and closed them out and divided up the rest of it. Or he'd have stayed there yet as long as he could draw money. He says, I would have collected it Well, do you know I come in too slow to go? Well, I said people are crazy. That First World War, what was the idea to raise everything up? And the wheat, you couldn't save a sack at home, you're supposed to take it to the warehouse. And then when you bought a sack of flour, you were supposed to buy that much rice and that much corn and this substitute to go with it. One poor farmer out here, he had bought 4 sacks of flour and he had laid in his at home there. Somebody seen it and went squealed on him. He had to take it there and haul it up to town. Well, now stuff like that, he just, people are crazy.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. And the sugar. The holler about sugar went up high now. Took and raised that up to 100 pounds was $25. Mother had done a lot of canning, wanted to do them. Me and my brother was working out to come home, and mother was kicking about this and that, and sugar was so high, well, didn't say nothing, went up in town and bought a sack of sugar, 100 pounds of sugar, and took it out. He didn't, that's the rationing, but that's that later on, the other war was, and you couldn't buy more so much. You had to get stamps and you, no, what the heck, the idea of it. Bunch of foolishness, all of it.
Well, you, when you bought her that sugar, you paid $25 for 100 pounds?
Yeah, we paid $25 for 100 pounds.
You bought it anyway?
We bought it anyway and took it home and gave her.
So she'd stop complaining?
No, well, she's doing a lot of canning, of course. Of course, we fellas, when we didn't work, when we was idle, we go home to the folks. We had to do something for the board. Of course, like when I was home there, generally if I went out a while in the summer, well, then I worked in the spring and in the harvest, why, till that is all over, and then we're back to the woods.